Welcome to Free Spirits Healing Circle, where we will explore ways to let go of our fears to become free. We'll rediscover that gratitude is the pathway to joy and spirit. Now today and every Sunday, we will be meeting at the same time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, and we'll be sharing on different topics that participants want to share and discuss. And we have some special guests tonight, but I think they're just going to go by their first names. And Kat is going to do us the honors of leading us into tonight's group discussion with a centering exercise.
Take three deep breaths. And upon the third breath, focus your mind inwards. Take your mind to your spinal cord and see your spinal cord the color of electricity, of white light. Imagine that this electricity is an extension lead, and send the extension lead down into the center of the earth and plug yourself in to the molten core of light of our great Mother Gaia. And bring her love and light and healing and her energy of matter up through your cord, up into your solar plexus, and let her fill your solar plexus with light. And bring that light up through your spinal cord and out of your crown, where there is another end of the extension lead, and shoot it like a rocket up into the sun. And plug yourself into spirit, into the sun. And allow a great Father Spirit to bring you the light of intuition and creation into your body, down through your spinal cord and into your solar plexus. And fill your internal battery with matter and spirit light. And breathe into your belly as you are filled with light. Feel the warmth and comfort of the light of the Mother and the light of the Father. And let all the cells of your body aliven with the light, until your skin and your hair is alight, and feel yourself grounded, connected, and true. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Thank you, Kat. Tonight, there are just three of us so far. Interesting, but that's fine and dandy. We'll have a great time exploring different topics. And, Jean, I do have your microphone live, so the three of us are live. And, Kat, you had offered up a topic for tonight. Jean, would you also like to offer up one? And then each of you can share what your topic is, and we'll go from there.
Kat, would you please remind me what your topic is, because I'd like to go off of that one.
And I have it written down, Kat, if you would like me to put forward what indicated to me.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just click to the right page of my calendar here so I have it and can tell exactly what you had suggested. The title of the topic was Bringing in Unity with All. And you also had some other flip sides to that that you wanted to talk about, light and dark, just kind of doing a discussion about different aspects of unity and where it can take us and what it's about. And so that was what you had mentioned to me. And if you want to elaborate on that anymore, that would be great. But let's also find out what Jean has for a topic. And then, Kat, if you want to lead off, that would be great. So, Jean, do you have a topic, or should I put one forward?
I would like to flow in with Kat by adding forgiveness. Forgiveness with self and others.
Excellent.
I think that would
actually the topic that I want to.
Go ahead,
I agree, Jane. Well, no, that's okay. What I really wanted to explore was that I've seen some people on YouTube sort of clumsily, and I'm not trying to criticize anyone. They clumsily tried to explain the concept that we are all the Great Spirit. And that means that because we are all the Great Spirit, we are all the light and dark, and therefore if the dark happens to us, that is an aspect of us that has occurred to us. Now, that really enraged a lot of people in the comments that I have read afterwards, because people were saying, oh, what are you telling me, that I abuse myself, that I was the abuser and that I abuse myself. I was not that person. I am my own person. So there's a confusion that I think that we need to discuss and unpack in regards to the way that people understand that the super consciousness and their part in the ecosystem of the universe. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Please go on. Why don't you complete whatever thoughts that you have on the subject and also on forgiveness. Then we'll go to Jean, then I'll chime in, and then we can go around one more time and perhaps we'll have other callers. It's unusual that we don't, but that's all right. I think the three of us can have a spirited discussion.
Okay, well, you know, my concept of it and you know, I think we've all got to take it from our own angle, is that the divine mind, like the universe, is a great mind, first and foremost. And when we look at anything that has been created, we can see that it was idea, then it was matter. It's not matter, then idea. It doesn't go that way. It is idea and then matter. So I think of a concept of design for a chair, and then I can build the chair. I cannot make the chair without thinking about it first. So the Great Spirit is a divine mind. It is not a personified human being that is standing over us looking down, a big raging man. That is not the divine mind. The divine mind wants to experience all, and the divine mind is the all. It is all that is, and all that is the divine mind. Therefore, you are an aspect of the divine mind. So, as the author writes the play, the author writes the characters in the play. The characters in the play are not aware of the author. Yet the author is aware of the characters. The characters in the play play out their drama between each other and ultimately learn and grow. And where they learn and grow to is to be coming back into the author. So they become the author eventually and reemerge with themselves. So in order to understand that we are all, We need to understand that we are on a journey. We are characters that have been altered by the divine mind, and that we are on a journey to rediscover that we are the all, that we were the author in the first place, and that our personality and our body, which is in the essence of our soul. So in the Bible it says we are made in the image of God. Well, we are actually made in the image of our soul. So you want to see what your soul looks like, look in the mirror. That face in front of you is your soul in flesh and blood. And, I mean, I can explore the aspect of the soul. It's a multi-bodied, in multi-dimensional aspect of you, but that's another topic. The soul is the child of the divine mind. Just as you and I are a child of a man and a woman, whether we met them or not, we are still a child of somebody. So when we are going about our lives and somebody crosses our path and they abuse us, they too have been altered by the divine mind. Because the divine mind needs to experience all experiences. It needs to cross all paths. It needs to understand all aspects of life. It needs to be in all things. Otherwise, it's bored. And if it's bored, it's going to do things it shouldn't do. It's going to be alone. It's going to be bothered. And it's going to start to feel wasted. It needs to be in amongst it. It needs to have the ebb and the flow. It needs to have the activity and the peace. So when somebody comes and abuses you, they are part of the greater environment of this planet, and they are therefore part of the greater environment of the universe. And the physical universe is a direct aspect of the spiritual universe, the unseen universe, which is the divine mind. Therefore, when somebody abuses you, they are being an aspect of the divine mind, as you are an aspect of the divine mind. So when we bring forgiveness into it, we need to turn around and look at the experience that we've had with this other person and dive deeper into love of ourselves. Because we are therefore loving the divine mind, and we are understanding that the universe is having an experience. It doesn't make it easier. You know, if you were raped as a child or beaten by your partner or attacked by somebody or you went through a terrible war, it doesn't brush it off. It doesn't make it any easier. But when you start to look at the people who have grown, who've gone through these experiences, I saw an old PBS hour special by Wayne Dyer, of course, has passed on recently. I watched it. And he brought up a woman from somewhere in Africa whose whole village had turned on each other. There were two different ethnic groups in this village, and one ethnic group turned on the other. She came home from school. She'd been away. And her father picked her up and drove her home. And no sooner had they got home than this ethnic cleansing started. And the local preacher hid her and several other women in his bathroom. And there she was not allowed to speak for 60 days, 60 or 90 days. And during that time, before she went into the bathroom, she asked him for a French-English dictionary, and she learnt to speak English by reading only in her mind. And she did nothing else. She couldn't speak to the other women. They all had to share a bathroom, so they all had to eat and excrete and sleep in there. And, of course, they're women, so they would have been menstruating as well. They had to be deadly silent. If they were not silent, they would have been murdered. And she heard people outside the bathroom, people who were her high school teachers. She heard the man who taught her mathematics. come to kill her, calling her name. She later found out that all her family had been murdered and that, I mean, can you imagine getting out of there and your entire village has been decimated, everyone you love is gone, and they've been gone in a brutal way. How can you forgive? She dove into love. She dove into forgiveness by loving herself, by learning the language of another so that she could tell her story, and she learned to forgive by loving herself. And by going into that place of deep love, she then found the way, the Great Spirit opened the way for her to move into the USA away from that terrible horror, where she was able to learn to speak again, to find her voice, to write a story about it, and ultimately Wayne Dyer found out about her and got her on his show. So somebody who's gone through that kind of incredible horror can dive deep into love and to understanding and to forgiveness, then so can anyone else who's gone through something terrible who's listening to this. But to be outraged, I can understand if somebody is stumbling across the explanation that we're all the Great Spirit and therefore, you know, your abuser is also you. It doesn't sound right. But when you look at the bigger picture, what you're actually seeing is the dark aggravating you so that you'll learn and grow. And it will. It'll aggravate you. It'll be a pebble in your shoe, or it'll be a horrific experience. But it is there to aggravate you enough that you will continue to strengthen and strengthen until you are unable to be hurt. When you think about a baby elephant, it sits with its mothers and aunts, and it grows and grows and grows until it is such an age that it is no longer at risk of being attacked by any of the predators on the Serengeti. And this is what we need to be as light workers, as souls who are here to grow. This is what we're here for. We cannot become all that we are without the aggravation of the dark. Otherwise, you know, why would the Great Spirit have it? So I guess that's what my thoughts are in a nutshell.
Thanks so much, Kat. Jean, do you want to go next, or do you want me to go?
I would like you to go, please.
Okay. We also just had another caller call in, and I just want to find out what their first name is, and then I'd be happy to go. Area code 303, what's your first name, please? Perhaps you just want to listen, which is okay. I'll come back to you later to see. Oops, I didn't open your mic. Area code 303, what is your first name, please?
Allison.
Allison, hi. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Tonight our topics are dealing with darkness and light in regard to all that is, and also forgiveness. And I just grossly paraphrased the topic that Kat brought up. You just missed a wonderful share, but if you want to share after Jean shares and I share, you're welcome to do so, okay?
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So I guess I'm going next, and I really liked what you had to say, Kat. I believe that we come into this world perfect and that we become contaminated by the ways of the world. And I think it has to do with karma that gets passed down to people who might become our perpetrators. And perhaps it's because we've been perpetrators in other lifetimes. But I do certainly embrace the concept of human life as we see it as being a cosmic drama, that it's like a movie in the mind of God, if you want to call the Creator or all that is God. I was thinking, I'm skipping around a little bit here. I'm a little bit scattered. It's been quite a day today. But I was thinking about the different facets of God and how we're all a part of God as God is a part of us. And I remember not the I Love Lucy show, but the Lucy show, where there was a kaleidoscope of all these images of Lucy. And I think of that in terms of all of our souls or oversouls being part of our Creator, which I believe is love and light. However, in order for us to complete our soul's journey in this lifetime and all of our lifetimes, I believe that we need to experience the duality of light and darkness, and that that's an innate part of our human imperfectness. While we're spiritual beings, perfect spiritual beings having a human experience, it's up to us to sort out and carve out the darkness if we're going to live in the light. And I've heard it likened to peeling back the layers of an onion to reach the core, to reach the perfect core, the jewel at our center, that I believe we can reach if we achieve illumination, which happens to very few people in any given lifetime. But it is possible. I do believe that we can become ascended masters in our own time or aspire to be that, but that's just not the experience of the vast majority of people. And that's okay, too, because we're all at different stages in our spiritual evolution. And I really embrace the concept that we are all a part of God. And there's so many different ways to look at it. It just is almost, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to try to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. But in God's eye, it's just like the movie is continuing to play and morph, and it's just a delicious experience for God. And I guess that light and darkness will always be present, and now I'm kind of changing my opinion, because there is always shadow connected to light, connected to objects, people. There are shadows. We live in darkness half the day. We live in light half the day. But I don't think that we need to live in darkness within ourselves. I believe that we can open up to the light if we do the work, and it takes a lot of work. And I think forgiveness is one of the biggest steps in terms of doing the work. I was struck by the example or the story that you told, Kat, and I thought about a friend of mine who was a survivor of World War II. She lived in Germany, and she and her family were in a bomb shelter when a bomb went off. And what happened was, it was a miracle. She and her family survived, but everybody else, they were blown out the door. Everybody else in the building was killed, and she wondered how it was that she survived, but she embraced it as a miracle. And she, God bless her soul, I don't know if she's still living or not. If she is, she'd be in her mid to late 80s, and I haven't had contact with her in 15 years. But her soul's journey was to find forgiveness, and I don't know that she ever did do that. And I saw her deteriorate over a period of 2 decades. And I think it's imperative that we forgive if we're going to be free. If I don't forgive somebody who's done me harm, it's only toxic to me. It's poison to my soul. It's poison to my feelings and my experience. And it causes dis-ease within myself, which can manifest in disease. So I believe forgiveness is very important. And, of course, perhaps the greatest spiritual master that ever lived, Jesus, taught us about love and forgiveness going hand in hand. And so that's all I have to say right now. And, Jean, I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. I definitely agree with both you and Kat with having the experiences so that it gives God the experience. There was a time when I felt like we were all chess pieces. I'm sorry. Why don't you go to the next person, please?
Sure, no problem. I'll come back to you, Jean. Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Allison, is there anything that you would like to share?
No, I'm just enjoying listening. I actually share many of your own thoughts, so I won't say that much. So,
okay, well, please continue to listen, and we're
okay,
here every this time. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
Kat, have there been any thoughts that have been stimulated for you that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I really enjoyed what you said and what you shared just now, David. I would like to add that I do feel that enlightenment, which is what you were alluding to, people becoming an ascended master, it happens slowly. It doesn't happen in a flash. Somebody came up to me last night. I was doing some spiritual teaching at a spiritual church, and afterwards she came up to me and she said, I've been searching for a way to become enlightened, and I've gone and seen a lot of different psychics, and they've told me that it will come and that it will be all of a sudden, but how do I know when I'm enlightened? And I said to her, you're already enlightened. Don't you realize when you finished grade one, you were enlightened by the knowledge that you had from grade one. When you entered grade two, you were in ignorance of the knowledge of grade two until you had completed it, and then you were enlightened by grade one and grade two, and so on until you completed school. So enlightenment is an unfolding of knowledge where we come into our own and start to ascend as a master is through self-mastery. It's becoming in a state of oneness with the universe and of taking ourselves into personal responsibility for our own actions and learning and growing from them. But it is also, as you said, taking that state of forgiveness for anyone who has wronged us. Stuart Wilde used to teach this. He used to say, just let it go. No, people ripped you off, let them go. If somebody hit you, let them go. And as you said, David, forgiveness is within you because you hold the experience. If I walked out down the street and somebody threw a rock at my head, it would be my head that got the experience, my emotional body that would have felt the emotion of it, my energy that would have to be dealt by me. So it is a personal experience, but that is how we have the ultimate relationship with the Great Spirit, because we're having the ultimate relationship with ourselves. Everything around us is mirroring ourselves to us, and therefore, by loving and deeply self-loving, by taking responsibility for ourselves, our actions, our thoughts, our habits, the way that we treat this temple, our body, these things will fast forward our evolution. Because an ascended master is simply somebody who's evolved. And when someone dies and they've had a difficult life, you've got two choices. You can turn around and you can grieve their life and say, poor them, and feel sorry for the experiences they had. But if they were somebody who had a strength of spirit about them and a resolve, then celebrate, because that life was one that caused their soul to evolve. Celebrate that life and know that they are moving forward and ever further towards that place of evolution that pulls them up into ascended mastery. It's the self-mastered way. It's, I teach the basics of it in one of the courses that I run called the Halcyonic Method. People really, they complicate it all a little bit too much, I think. It's not that complicated. It's really not. It's just about having the ultimate relationship, and that is with the self, with you, with your deep you. People can get caught up in religion and in their God. But if their God is telling them to fear it, if their God is telling them to hurt others, that is not a real God. By going within, that is where you are going to find the Great Spirit. And that is going to be where you find the deepest, most amazing aspects of yourself. They must be unfolded. Enlightenment must be unfolded, just as knowledge is unfolded to you throughout schooling. You can't just sort of all of a sudden come to it. You need to build those neurons. You need to build those thought ways, those thought pathways, those neural pathways. And your soul is like a big brain or a big tree. If you think about a tree, and you think about if you've ever seen an image of the central nervous system, you'll see it looks like a tree with branches and little tiny branches. And if you look at the brain and you watch the activity of a brain, it looks like thunderstorms and lightning. It's amazing how the inner you actually looks like nature, because you are part of nature.
Mm.
So we are nature. I think we forget it all. We forget. The Tao teaches us that nature is the perfect expression of the Great Spirit. We are nature. So find that forgiveness is by finding the love within. Allow it to slowly evolve within you, and don't compare yourself to another. We're all on the circle. We're all evolving.
Thanks, Kat. Dean, please share.
It's a little hard to follow that. So to add to that. Well, I believe also that we all come in here and make soul agreements, and we make agreements with each other to help us remember who we are. And I believe who we are aspects of the Creator God. And I believe that we have lots of gifts and abilities. And I think that part of the way, like when David says it takes work, I like to use the word practice. I think it takes a lot of practice to have forgiveness about things that come up in your life, including forgiving yourself. And really, that's all I have to add, David.
Well, thank you, Jane. The only thing I wanted to add was when Kat was talking about how we mirror each other, that really resonated with me, and it also made me think about how as we evolve through our further understanding of ourselves through our interactions with others, that we are actually growing the greater consciousness of God. Just as the universes are expanding, so is God. I mean, he's an infinite source. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He's everywhere present. And I just use the pronoun he because that's what I'm taught. That's what I was taught to use, and it's familiar to me. But certainly she is just as vital because there's no such thing as he or she when it comes to God. But we all have different aspects of ourselves as men and women, and some men are more like females and some women are more like males. We share those common energies, even though they might seem disparate at points in time. And God is just beyond comprehension. It's something that we grow in, and I'm just very grateful to be part of this experience tonight, and I hope that other people will join us in the future. I don't know if either of you had anything else that you would like to add.
I wanted to agree with Jean and what she's saying about souls communicating with each other and making agreements about helping each other grow. But we can get caught up in the semantics about things, and those teachings are relevant. And I want people to consider that there are people out there who are there to help you, and they may not be people that you like. And but if you don't have those people there to cause you to have that aggravation, you may not become the strength that you need. You may not come into the strength that you need. And, you know, I can tell you from my own life that I didn't grow up feeling like I was loved, and I felt like I couldn't speak. I had no voice. I felt crushed by emotions. I was very frightened of other people's emotions. And I couldn't really stand up for myself. I had become so crushed by the experiences I'd had as a child and a young person that I didn't feel like I was worthy of breathing. And I didn't know why I was here. I didn't feel like I was part of the human race. I didn't understand why anyone tolerated me, because certainly people treated me pretty poorly, and I didn't understand what I was to them, why they didn't like me, because I wasn't particularly doing anything outrageous that I could see. So I was very, very small in myself and in my life, even though I had times that I was expressive and I excelled in theater, and I tried to get out there. The people who were around me held me back and tried and stopped me, and that was a lot to do with my age. So I went on a terrible journey. I went on a journey of 20 years of a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. But during that journey, I had to deal with doctors, lawyers, people from mental health professions, people from physical health professions. I had to deal with schools. I had to deal with employers. I had to deal with the Australian Taxation Office and understanding small business, because I had to run my own business. I couldn't work for someone else. Difficult children to raise. And it forced me to come out of my shell. And it forced me to find my voice. It forced me to stand up and be counted and to say F you to everyone who'd ever tried to hold me back and crush me for whatever BS reason they had. And it eventually got me to a point where I said to myself, I'm worthy. I can be part of this human race. Instead of looking at the humans, which is the way I used to see it, because I just didn't think that I thought it must have been an alien. I didn't think that I was part of it because I certainly wasn't treated like I was. So that's just my own experience. But the people along the way who caused that aggravation for me, they also caused me to have to learn to stand up and strengthen. My emotional body that was so crushed had to learn to get resilient, and I had to strengthen. My physical body had become so ill when I was 19, I nearly passed away. And I was very, very ill, and I had a residual illness, which I still deal with, chronic fatigue, because of the situation that I was in when I was younger, living in an outback town, drinking water that poisoned me, gave me a disease called Giardia, breathing air that was full of sulfur and arsenic because it was a mine that was pumping out pollution. I'm allergic to sulfur, so I was in a place that was poisoning me, and that's left my body ill for my lifetime. It's a cross I have to bear. And then also from the abuse and everything that I experienced as a child, there's an on effect for chronic illness as an adult. I can sit there and think about that and get crushed and cry and feel sorry for myself, or I can forgive it. I can take it on and I can see it for what it is and I can forgive it. And that's what I choose to do. I'm not good at it every day. But it is, in the end, what I choose to do, because I like being sane. I like being happy. And I like working with the flow of the universe and being an animal of the universe, a child of the universe, and letting the universe talk to me back. So when I'm in a state that I'm angry at the universe, I'm angry at other people, I'm unhappy because these people have come into my life, I'm hurting, I'm closed off from the goodness. And in the goodness, that is where I'm going to find the delight. That is where I'm going to find the delight, the light. In the teachings of Thoth, he tells you about how to be in the light. It's so important that we take the pathway of the light. The night, the dark, it can be very shiny. You know, if you get a look at a polished obsidian, it's got a shine to it. If you look at a television screen that's turned off, it's got a shine to it. The dark has a shine, it has a sheen, and in that sheen, it can lure people into thinking that it's the easy way, it's the good way. And it's the way of expressing negativity and emotional negativity and self-abuse. But it is not ultimately the way of love. So going back to the original topic where people were yelling down their computer screens, what are you trying to say, that I am my abuser and that I abused myself? No, not really. That's not really what we're trying to say. That's not what Jean's trying to say. She's saying that we're all part of this universe, and that on a greater dimensional level than the one we play out in the physical, we've agreed to help each other to learn and grow. Would that be what you were saying, Jean?
I think that we've lost Jean.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to add at this point, Kat?
No.
Well, I just wanted to say that I related to a lot of the feelings that you were talking about as a child. And my experiences may have been different, but I can think of things like mental health professionals and abuse and things that were not particularly pleasant that I've learned to let go of and have found a lot of healing from. And the way I have done that has been by forgiving others, but primarily the most important person for me to forgive was myself, because I abused myself terribly through taking on judgments of others. And I thought that I was defective, and I never even realized until a friend said to me on the night of my last drunk, "You don't need to beat yourself up anymore." And I had no idea what this man was talking about at that point in time, because it was just such an innate, ingrained way of life for me. And I thought I loved myself. I had even started to write my autobiography as if I was looking at it through rose-colored glasses, because I had disassociated from a lot of stuff that had happened to me. But I've come to see that it's all been part of a greater blessing, because I've learned and grown, and that's what it's all about, is learning. I have free will to do whatever it is that I want to do, and today I want to live in the light, and I embrace the light. I follow it the best that I can. I'm not perfect by a long shot, but it is something that I strive to do. And yes, I'm a survivor, but above and beyond that, I am a striver. I am a thriver. And nobody can put me down today unless I give them permission to do that. And I don't give that permission anymore. I will not take on anybody's judgment. I will not take on anybody's abuse. I'll simply turn the other cheek and walk away. And I had misunderstood that expression about turning the other cheek when I was younger. But let's take time to just pause and reflect upon the happy child, the happy healed child that exists within, those aspects of the child that we've come to love, those aspects of self that we've learned to let go of that has not served us well anymore. And so let's just take a moment to remember what we looked like as little children and look into those eyes. If they're scared, let's show them love. Let's become the mirror that they were seeking. And let's let them know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're perfect within their souls, and that there's nothing that they need to do. There's nothing they need to be other than to just be at peace with themselves. Just be happy. There is no need to prove yourself. You're of intrinsic value. You are a beloved child of God and only deserve unconditional love. And we, as that child's higher self or future self, can give the love to that child that will enable it and empower the child to survive and to thrive, because we have become those adult children, and that is who we are today. We may be scarred. We may still be feeling feelings that are uncomfortable, but we are coming to see that we are perfect just as we are, that all is well, and that life is just a continuing mystery. And as Kat said, it's a journey through the unknown till we reach the other side, whatever that may be. And so I wish you all well. And with that said, good night and God bless. until we meet again next week, same time, same place.